14, and it's we're right in the middle of the chapter. Well, not really. We're going to be starting it at we're just covering a lot of things today, okay? And last week we taught went through from verse 1 to kind of 6, and we're just going to work on them chapters today, or them verses. And but let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started, okay? Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace. Thank you that, Lord, we're able to come to church. We have a church to come to. We have that freedom to still worship you the way that you allow us to. We appreciate that, Lord. I do thank you, Brother Bill, over to Whitefish Manor, him and Joanne, that you'd bless there, and William down at the Veterans Home, Lord. We thank you for these ministries, and the one over at the Beehive here. We really appreciate that, Lord, and the ministries that you've given us and that you've brought us, and we give you the glory for it. So, Lord, help us to that we would yield ourselves to you, to allow you to work through us, to be a blessing to somebody, Lord. It's not us, it's you. And so we need your help this morning, and so we just pray that you would just kind of empty our all of our emotions, all of our stress, everything that's going on in our life, and just for a few hours, Lord, that we can fellowship with you and each other, and Lord, be a blessing to each other, and maybe if you will allow us to and join with us, Lord, that we might bring glory to our Heavenly Father. And we'll just thank you for it. In thy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So in chapter 14, remember chapter 13 was a kind of a pivotal chapter. And you say, well, where are we at in chapter 14 in the Revelation? Now, in the book of Revelation, you want to remember that this is dealing with now during the seven-year tribulation, okay? And verse 1 says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. Do you ever get this where somebody's harping on me? Well, that all comes out of the Bible, okay? Now notice, and we're dealing with the 144,000 that God has chosen during the tribulation, and they're not Jehovah Witnesses, okay? Well, they are Jehovah Witnesses, but they're not the ones that go around here on earth saying, that we're the 140. No, they're not. They're all Jews. They're all males. They're all virgins, okay? And they have the mark of God in their forehead. You say, well, he's imitating Satan. No, Satan imitating God. God puts his mark in their forehead, and then Satan imitates that with his number, 666, okay? And so, and now they've got a new song in verse 3, and the song is that we're a new song before the throne and before the beast and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from earth. So at this point, during the tribulation, these 144,000 have been raptured. They're in heaven before the throne, okay? And these are they which were not defiled with women, okay? So they're virgins. That's what it says. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Now, we went through that. And in their mouth was found no guile. There was no lying, no boasting, anything like that. And they are without fault before the throne of God. Forgive me, I've got, I think I inhaled my breath mint. And so then we get to verse 6, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. Now this is important. We talked about this last time. We got this angel flying in the midst of heaven. He's on earth, okay? But he's flying around. You know, he's got to be a pretty good-sized angel. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the... Now, note, you ought to underline this. The everlasting gospel. Thank you, sir. I needed that. And so, now, notice this. Flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and every kindred and tongue and people. So we're in the middle of the tribulation, okay? The church, where is the church during this time? We're in heaven. Chapter 4, or verse 1 and 2, we're in heaven. Now let me ask you a question, and this is what we're going to follow through on today. What is the gospel for today? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Okay. Now, it's strange in Christianity today, you got all these churches that say, well, people were saved the same way in the Old Testament as they are now, and they're going to be saved the same way in the tribulation as they are now, and that's not true. Not even close. And we're going to look at that today, okay? Now, notice, we've already established in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and we'll probably look at that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do to get saved. We get saved, then we do our works. In the Old Testament, they done their works, and then they were saved by the blood of an animal, but they were not forgiven. They were not redeemed. Why? Because Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. Okay? Had been forgiven because of animal blood. That's all. And that's why Jesus Christ is classified as the Lamb of God, because when he died, then that all that sins was washed away. Okay, so... And so he says here in verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and every kindred and tongue and people. And now this is what he was preaching. He wasn't preaching the death, burial, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's preaching, he's saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. We said last week, during the tribulation, every evolutionist will go to hell. They will, because they don't believe that God created the heaven and earth. Here, that is part of that gospel. You have to fear God. You have to give glory to him. Why? And you have to believe that he created the heaven and the seas and the earth and everything else. And if you don't, you go to hell. That's what it says. That is the gospel. So every evolutionist, they may get by with it now, but they're going to hell anyway. But in the tribulation, they definitely will, because that is part of the gospel. Now, we went into, talked a lot about that last week. But I want to kind of pick up where we left off, now we was talking about the difference in the Gospels, okay? Look at the, you can hold your place here, but go back to Matthew chapter 10. And I made a statement last week. You hear Christians going around and saying, I'm just going to preach what Jesus did. Well, if you did, and if you do, now, forgive me. Salvation was wrought by Jesus Christ on the cross. It was given to Paul, the death, burial, and resurrection. But when Jesus Christ was on earth, he was not preaching that because he hadn't died yet. Does that make sense? Now, let me read a verse to you. And you go to Hebrews chapter 9 real quick. I think it's 9. These are some verses that you should always remember. Mark them in your Bible, because look at this in Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator. Now what's a mediator? Mediator is kind of like a lawyer. He's a go-between. Okay? He's the mediator of the New Testament. In other words, without Jesus Christ, there would be no New Testament. Right? Okay. He is also called the testator. The testator is one that the testament is about. So he says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that are under the First Testament, that which are called nigh receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, now do we have a New Testament? For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament, verse 17, is of force after men are dead. See, the New Testament did not take place till Christ said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. That started the New Testament. So everything up to Matthew 27:8 is Old Testament. Okay? And why? Because the Bible says that is the case. So in the Old Testament, until the New Testament was given and the testator died, they were still observing the Old Testament law. That's why when Christ, when Mary offered, when Christ was born, you know what the high priest said? Go offer a sacrifice. Well, that was Old Testament. Okay, so and now look at Matthew chapter 10. And we're just going to kind of go through this. We got a lot of scripture, and I showed you this last year, week. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. Now, in these verses, Christ is he's selecting his apostles, all 12 of them. Okay, and in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. It wasn't a suggestion. Commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles." Now, what are we? We're Gentiles. There's only two kinds. There's three types of people on the earth back then, and two now. There was Jews and Gentiles, and then there was Samaritans. Samaritan was a half Jew, half Gentile. It was a Jewish woman that married a Gentile man. Okay, and the Jews hated them, and the Gentiles hated them. They were half-breeds, okay? So God, now notice he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Okay, so along with preaching to the Jews, there was signs and wonders and miracles, okay? Now, we went through that last week. Now, question, was Peter one of the 12 apostles? Yes, right here. Christ chose him in chapter 10 and sent them out and told them to preach, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that is the gospel that Peter was to preach, right? That's what he was to preach. It wasn't the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Why? Because Christ hadn't died yet. They were still after the Old Testament law. And I'm telling you, you say, well, a large majority of your Baptists don't get this. They just don't get it, okay? All right, so... look at Matthew chapter 16. According to the scriptures, where are we at in dispensation? We're still in Old Testament. Why? Christ hasn't died yet. Okay? When Christ said it is finished, what was he talking about? Well, he wasn't talking about his life, because he knew he was going to. The Old Testament law was finished, and the price for salvation was finished. Okay? Now, so Matthew chapter 16. And look at verse 21. Then Peter, now remember, what's he preaching? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now notice that. He says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Mark that. That is the time word showing what is about to take place. Okay? So if you want to know who he's talking about, go back up to verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto the disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem. Now look at this. And suffer many things, and of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Well, now what's that? That is 1 Corinthians 15. That is the gospel. Peter, they'd never heard about this before. So Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, now notice, Christ comes to him and to the to disciples, okay? And he starts explaining to them about that he must go to Jerusalem, and there he's going to be mistreated by the priest and the elders and the Pharisees, and he's going to be crucified, or he's going to be killed, and then the third day. And Peter takes him and starts rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ for this. Now think about that. If this is the way they got saved before, here it was one of the apostles, when Christ explains it to him, gets upset with him and starts taking him and shaking him and rebuking him for what he said. They had never heard about it before. Now, if you've never heard about that, how are you going to get saved that way? You can't. So this is very important. And so Peter began, meaning that he started rebuking him for what he was saying. And verse 21, Christ tells him about the third day he's going to be raised again. Now what has Christ shown them? The death, burial, and the resurrection. But it hadn't happened yet. Okay? He had not even begun to tell them how bad it will really be. But they don't get it. And then verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Think about that. He's rebuking God for him telling him about how salvation is going to come. But that was Peter. He done it out of love. See, we can do things out of love and be totally scripturally wrong. That's wild, isn't it? Did he have a bad spirit? No. He done it out of love. Then verse 23, but he turned, now that's Jesus Christ, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. See, Satan was using Peter. Peter was doing it out of love, but when he opened up himself, and we're going to preach on this the next service, when he opened himself, when he disobeyed scripture and opened himself up, Satan took advantage of it right there. Now think about this. He's got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's apostle. He's got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil's in him. Has just took control of him and made him say something. Now, do you think we stand a chance of fighting against it? And that won't happen to us? You better believe it will. And we mean it out of the goodness of our heart. But when you go against scripture, it doesn't matter your intent. Well, his heart's good. No, it isn't. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus Christ. And he knew it. And so he rebuked him, and the devil, and the simple fact of it is the devil hates the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being preached anytime. You can preach about God. You can preach about all these other things, but when you start preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection, boy, the devil hates it, and he does everything he can to stop it. All right, so that's what's going on here. Now, look at Matthew 25. Now, we're still working with we're showing the difference that what were they preaching over there in the tribulation? Fear God, give him glory, and believe that he created the heaven and earth. That was the gospel that they're going to be preaching there. That's not the same as our gospel, and that's not the same as the gospel here that Peter and them were preaching. So Matthew 25, look at verse... Now remember about the 144,000 Jews that we read about and we started reading? Okay. that God saved them supernaturally, and he did, and how they were all male virgins, right? Let me show you how they show up again. Look at verse chapter 25 of Matthew. Look at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto what? 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now notice this thing. They're virgins. It's talking about the same one of the 144,000 over in the tribulation. And they're virgins. They never marry. Now notice, they don't marry the bridegroom. Now who marries the bridegroom? The bride does. We know, right? Well, who's the bride? It's us, the church. The New Testament church is the bride. The virgin. Virgin. Now notice here, it says these are virgins. More than one. When it's talking about the body of Christ, the New Testament church, are the virgin. It's one. They're all like one. When you see virgins, it's not talking about the bride of Christ. So these virgins, they meet the bridegroom. Big difference, okay? And we was talking about this last week, Justin, and we got time. We'll get into this thing. So notice that. It must be. It's the same ones over in the book of Revelation. And so, let me see. They meet him, verse 4. But the wise, let's back up a little. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. Now what's the oil type of in the Bible? Holy Spirit. Okay. They took oil. So 10 of these, 5 of these virgins, half of them, they were wise, and they had the Holy Spirit with them, the oil. 5 did not. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Do you know how many times in the New Testament Christ warns his bride, the church, about not sleeping? He's talking spiritually. Being vigilant about it. And so, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him, not to marry, just to meet him. Then all these virgins arose, same ones over in the tribulation, and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. What do you have to do to get saved, to get the Holy Spirit? Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you got the Holy Spirit. These have to do something. They have to go and buy. They have to do something. It's not like our salvation. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went up with him to the marriage. Now notice, we're talking about who's going to be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and actually the marriage supper of the Lamb will be on earth. But who's going to be at the wedding? The wedding will be in heaven, and of course the bride will be there, the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ. The bride is the New Testament church. And who else is going to be there? Well, there's going to be guests there, and these will be part of it. Notice here, they were ready and went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So you can see that thing going on there. What's going on? There's so much to go through. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Back up a chapter. Look at verse 13. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. End of what? The tribulation. The context of it. Now look at the gospel that's being preached here. Now, what we're trying to show you is there's different gospels in the Bible. We get saved by believing, repenting, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be the death, burial, and resurrection, right? We don't do anything. That's all it is. In the tribulation, they had to believe in God. They had to fear God, give God the glory, and believe that he created the heaven and earth. Well, when Peter and Paul when Peter was preaching, what were they preaching? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven is near. I'm trying to show you that every time you see a gospel, there are seven different gospels in the Bible. It's not always talking about ours. Now look at verse 14 of chapter 24. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What gospel? Hang on and endure to the end, and don't take the mark of the beast. That's what it says. And you read through there and you'll get the context that it's talking about. Look down all the way down at verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, who's worried about that? The Jews and the Seventh-day Adventists. Look at verse 21. For then shall be what? He tells you when the context of what he's talking about. The great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except these days, what days? The days of the tribulation should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the, now you ought to circle that, elect. That's not talking about the church. The whole context is talking about the tribulation. Who is that the elect's sake talking about? The 144,000 over in Revelation 14. Okay? So again, look at Matthew, look at Mark. Mark chapter 9. Look at Mark 9, look at verse 31. Verse 31, for he taught his disciples, this Jesus Christ, teaching the 12 the apostles and disciples, he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. That's exactly, again, what he taught them over in Matthew. Now Mark is writing it down. What is that? The death, burial, and resurrection. Now look at the next verse. But they, who are they? The 12 apostles, the ones that are supposed to know everything, understood not his saying and were afraid to ask him. Get the picture here. He's saying, now this is going to happen. I've got to go to Jerusalem. I'll ride in on a donkey, and they will persecute me, and I'll be crucified, and they'll put me in a tomb, and the third day I'll rise. And they're going, what's this? What's he talking about? We never heard it. They'd never heard about the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. That was not the way the apostles were saved when Jesus was on earth. Did they get born again? After Christ died, they all did. But not then. That was not the way to get saved. And so you got to understand, if you've never heard something, how can you believe on it? Even Nicodemus, when in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus, one of the lawyers, he was a scribe. If anybody knew anything about Scripture, he was to know about it. And he went to Christ in secrecy, and Christ tried to tell him about the death, burial, and resurrection, that you must be born again in John chapter. He said, what are you talking about? He said, can a man go back into his mother's womb the second time and be born? He said, no, I'm talking spiritual. He didn't get it. So what we're trying to show you is that when you read in the Bible, when you take a text out of the context, it's a pretext. It's nothing. Everything has to be in the, and in the tribulation, that text over there is telling us that they, for salvation, they have to believe in God. They had to trust God, glorify Him as God, and believe that He created all things. Now that's what it is. But so they didn't understand this. Now you want to see the same thing again? Look at Luke chapter 18. In every one of the Gospels, Christ put this because it was that important. Luke chapter 18, and He does it again, trying to show us that. So let me ask you, is in Luke 18, has Christ been crucified yet? Nope. So you're still dealing with Old Testament. Christ didn't die in Luke till Luke 22-23. That's when the New Testament started. Okay, but now Luke 18, look at verse 31. Then He took unto Him the 12 and said unto them, now this is Luke writing about it, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And they're saying, well, that's great. Verse 32, for He shall deliver unto the Gentiles, so He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. Who's that? The Romans. And shall be mocked and spit and spitefully entreated and spit on. We know what's talking about. And they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again. And now look at this. And they understood none of these things. And this was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Well, how long was it hid to them? That was hid all the way till Paul. That gospel was given to Paul, not to any of the other apostles. And when God gave it to Paul, He took him on the backside of the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and taught Paul what the New Testament gospel was about, okay? And so that thing, there you have all three sessions of it. So go back to Revelation chapter 14. We'll close out here. And Revelation chapter 14, I still got three pages of notes we'll have to do next Sunday. Okay. So, but now look what we're going on here. Where are we at? Well, hold a place. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now, what's Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3 about? The churches. The seven churches. And everything about that. And it gives, there was historical, every one of these churches in the first three chapters were a historical church. They are also a time period. Now, and when you get to chapter 4 and verse 1, look what happens. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as were the trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. What is that? That's a rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. It's catching up or caught up. That is the New Testament church that He was talking about in three chapters. And He says, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The church is raptured away. And so from chapter 4 and verse 1 all the way to chapter 19 of Revelation, you never hear another word about the church. Nothing. Why? The church is in heaven. He's dealing with everything on earth. We're not here, praise God, going through all this stuff. He's dealing with the Jewish nation. It's in Jeremiah 31, it's called Jacob's Trouble. And in chapter 19, the ones in heaven come back with Him at the second coming. Okay? But right now in chapter 14, where are we at? Right in the middle Actually, we're getting toward the end of the 7-year tribulation period. And so, now notice again how different things will be. Why? Because the church is not here, it's in heaven. He's dealing with a Jewish nation mainly. And he says, and I saw, and John says, wow, I saw this another angel flying around in heaven, not the third heaven, but our heavens here, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, and this is the last gospel that's ever preached. Okay? Why? He says it is. It's the everlasting gospel. It's the last one. Unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation. So this is for, it's right at the end of the tribulation for all the Jews, for all the Gentile nations, that this is what they have to obey. And saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For why? Because the hour of judgment is come. The world's going to be judged. And part of this gospel, and refers it back to what he was preaching, worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and all the fountains of the waters. And next week we'll see, and now there's another angel going to follow him, and this is all taking place right during that time. So, anyway, any questions?